AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
All right, well, welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Great to be with you this Thursday afternoon. Glad that you are tuning in and paying attention and being a good biblical citizen, you know, not being one of these people with their head in the sand or some of these folks just kind of like a leech on society where they get to enjoy all the blessings, but they don't bear any of the burden. They don't take any time to find out what's going on or how to be a good steward of what they've been given. And clearly, if you are listening to this program, that is not you. You're one of those people that that actually appreciates freedom and values the opportunity to be a part of it, to learn more about it, and of course, to actually take action and be a part of the solution. So anyway, thanks for tuning in and for just being a good biblical citizen. Again, my name is Rick Green. If you're new to the program, you can learn more about me at patriotacademy.com. If you go to rickgreen.com, it's just going to divert you to patriotacademy.com. So rickgreen.com might be easier to remember or spell or whatever, but patriotacademy.com is where we house everything we're working on and doing, and that's a lot, man. It's a great year to be a part of being on the front lines. You know, there's sort of a, what's the right word, convergence of just history and purpose and vision and all these things right now this year in 2026 for us here at American Family Association, for Wall Builders, for Patriot Academy, for Turning Point, Family Research Council, Moms for America, Moms for Liberty, Liberty Pastors. I mean, all these groups, some of which have been at it, 40 years. Let's see, when did Don Wildman start American Family Association? 30 years for David Barton and Wall Builders, 25 years for Patriot Academy. I mean, Turning Point is like the baby in the group. It's the youngest of all of these groups. Moms for America, 2004, I think it was, so 22 years. Moms for Liberty, also young, 5 years, but exploded, doing great work. I mention all these groups because, you know, I just think it's cool to step back and just see God's hand for a minute. Just watch the incredible tapestry that He has put together for this moment where the ground is more fertile and the soil is more ready than ever for the seeds of liberty. And in many ways, we've been sowing those seeds of liberty these decades that we've been involved, watering them. But I think we're about to see some real fruit from all of those years of labor and work. Now, that does not mean, I'm not trying to say, you know, look at all we did in the last few decades. Now let's just sit back and enjoy the fruit of our labor and you know, sit on the porch and drink some good old Southern sweet tea and chomp down on those strawberries and peaches and other good fruit. No, I'm saying actually that we're not quite to that point yet. This is not the time to sit back and just enjoy the fruit. This is the time to harvest it. This is the time to recognize what God's been doing. Look at those decades of hard work. And then actually harvest and work the harvest and to use another analogy, rebuild the walls. Like, this is that moment where King Artaxerxes has said to Nehemiah, yes, go rebuild, and here's the check, and here's the timber, and here's all the things you need. And now we're like Nehemiah. We have the king in our case is we the people has said go rebuild, but you know, that means time to get to work, folks. That means it's not the time to sit back and drink the sweet tea. You might need some sweet tea to just keep you energized. I'm trying to do less sugar this year, so I'm going unsweet tea. I know that's just weird for a Texan to say they're going unsweet tea, but man, I got to cut down on the sugar. And if you drink as much tea as I drink, that alone, if you're drinking sweet tea, is all the sugar. That should be your entire sugar intake. And so, anyway, obviously, squirrel, you know, derailed a little bit there by my sugar and my sweet tea. Maybe I'm just in pain because I'm not getting all the sugar and the sweet tea that I want. But my point is, we're not ready to just sit back and enjoy. We got some work to do big time this year, 2026, for the 250th. Next year, I think, is that's going to continue. And then maybe we get to, I don't know if I'll ever let up on the gas, but maybe there'll be a shifting of the focus. But right now the focus is rebuilding the wall. So you better know the bricks. You better have the right mortar. You better have that sword in one hand, trowel in the other hand, and get in the fight, get on the wall, get to rebuilding, folks. I'm thrilled to be alive at a time like this and get to be part of that. And even as we're watching some of the, obviously not going to ignore the headlines, but dive right into them today. Even as we're watching some of the insanity and some of the violence, the craziness of the attacks on the ICE agents, the world significant events of Iran and Venezuela and Cuba, and as all of this is happening, I think keeping a providential view in mind is essential both to our sanity, just because look, you got to know when this kind of stuff is happening, you got to know God's in charge. You got to have some peace in knowing that duty is ours, results are God's. You got to have some peace in knowing that he's going to use even the tough stuff to make us better. And that it really is true that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And that even these difficult times, even as you watch some of the obnoxiousness of the left and the Marxist and the violence and the craziness, that as that is happening, just keep in mind God's in charge. There's nothing new under the sun. That these types of things have happened throughout history, and even as you read your Bible, you see so many of the things that are happening right now. In fact, as you read Nehemiah, same kind of stuff, man. They tried to stop him from building. They called him every name in the book. They tried to assassinate him. They did try to, get him to come to a place he was going to be assassinated. I mean, they all the stuff we're seeing right now, you can see in the book of Nehemiah, let alone throughout the rest of the Bible. So just rest assured that even in the midst of the chaos or in the midst of the good times or the bad, God's in charge. So if you start there and you have peace in that, then we can dive into the headlines and we can dive in and go, okay, look, what is this craziness in not just Minneapolis? I mean, the attacks on the ICE agents, it's everywhere. It's all over the country. And these are federal agents. These are law enforcement officers who have signed up to work for, less than what they could do in doing other things in order to protect you and to protect me and to protect our borders and to protect our nation, to actually implement the law. And I want to tell you, as I get into this subject of the riots and the violence against agents, the insurrection acts that multiple insurrection acts throughout our history, the presidents that have invoked those, including George Washington. As I get into this subject, I always want to make sure that I'm intellectually honest, that I'm not singing one song when a Democrat's in office and another song when a Republican's in office, that I'm not treating a mob situation different if it happens to be Republicans versus Democrats. Now, I know what you're thinking as I say that. Hopefully, if you've paid attention in the last 60 years, it's almost always Democrats rioting or doing violence. It is extremely rare that you can point to a Republican group or conservative group or certainly Christian family-oriented group that is responsible for any kind of a mob-type activity. And obviously January 6th is one of those exceptions where I think you had a lot of people, good people, just there to defend the Constitution and call on Congress to count the electoral votes accurately and not to cheat and not to reward cheating and just follow the Constitution. That's what most people January 6th were there to do. And unfortunately, it did get turned into a mob-type atmosphere and a lot of glass was broken and people hurt, as a result of that. And so I'm prefacing my comments today on the violence against ICE agents by saying that I would treat this the same whether it was Republican or Democrat. I said on air that afternoon of January 6th, live on multiple news stations, on Newsmax and Just the News and all these other outlets at the time, stop doing this. If you're breaking glass or you're walking across broken glass, hint, you're probably in the wrong place and you shouldn't be doing this, okay? Now, obviously, January 6th, it was a mixed bag because you had one side of the Capitol where that's what was happening. Agitators were actually causing the violence and breaking things and riling up the crowd. And I think a lot of very nefarious groups involved, from Antifa to quite literally the FBI and other government agents involved in that. But you also had on the other side of the Capitol Police peacefully waving in people, literally opening the doors and waving citizens into the Capitol. And so it was a real mixed bag that day. And normally something like that happens, we have enough sense and our justice system works well enough that that's what the justice system's for, is to wade through all of that, especially with all the hours of footage that we had, to figure out who the players were that did things that deserved prosecution and who the ones were that didn't. And then to have a level of prosecution based on how bad someone acted versus others who didn't. And all of that was thrown out. All of that was ignored. Justice was not sought. Political retribution was sought. And so our justice system was marred by the treatment of the J6 defendants. And instead of, being able to do it in a justice type way where the people that actually, poked a cop in the eye or did violence would be prosecuted for that action with a just amount of prosecution. Instead of doing that, we went after them as if they had murdered someone or, committed some other, worse crime. Way, way beyond what we did to the people who rioted 4 years previous and burned down cities and actually killed cops, which did not happen on January 6th, despite what you were, the lies that they told about that. And so we didn't have equal justice under the law. We didn't treat people equally under the law. In fact, we took the worst, who had actually murdered cops and done terrible things and thrown Molotov cocktails into police buildings and all that, and did practically nothing to them, or a little slap on the wrist, and Kamala Harris and others bailed them out. But then we turned around and did to people like the Praying Grandma, Rebecca Lawrence, and other good people that just walked through the Capitol, did no violence whatsoever, and we treated them like they were insurrectionists, and lied about even what happened on January 6th and called it an insurrection, which, if it was an insurrection, it was the worst armed, worst planned insurrection in the history of mankind and least violent of any insurrection in mankind, in the history of mankind. So anyway, all of that to say, even then I said, no violence against police officers. You follow the law and obey the law. Yes, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God, but you got to have some wisdom in that. How do you do that rebellion? It's peaceful rebellion. It's done in a way that is draws attention to the tyranny, but does not create more violence in the streets and out of control things. And so even with the J6ers, I said that. So certainly with BLM and Antifa four or five years before. Well, now bring it all full circle. Now you've got people running over police officers, trying to kill ICE agents. You've got people attacking ICE agents with shovels and everything else you can imagine. You clearly cannot condone or endorse this when ICE agents are following the law and implementing the law and following and implementing the policy that was already on the books before President Trump got elected, but that he ran on and was elected, duly elected president of the United States by a landslide to actually enforce those laws, to actually close our borders or secure our borders, and then to remove those who were a threat to our country and who had broken the law to come in. And so you're going to do violence against the police officers that are simply doing their job. So that means you're against the rule of law, you're against law enforcement, you're against equal treatment under the law, and you're for only protecting your political cronies and only going after the people that are the opposite of you. This is bad news, folks. Bad news. And when you do the kind of violence that they're doing, yes, insurrection. That's what the insurrection acts were designed for. This, the calling forth clause in the Constitution was designed for this. And so we'll talk about how President Trump could do this, what might happen in the next few days and weeks. And of course, we'll get to some of the other headlines, international headlines as well. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with resources that they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000 each, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a preborn clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the keyword baby. Or you can go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. We're talking about insurrections and riots and mobs and all that good stuff. And before I get to some of the sort of legal education and constitutional education and historical education on this subject, just know this from a human nature point of view. We have a tendency to allow our emotion, our anger, our passion, to get the best of us in mob, kind of large group situations. It's just the human nature. It's not just simple-minded people, if you will. We're all prone to that, especially when it's something we care deeply about. And, it's the reason that law and order is so important. It's the reason that it is okay to have, some sort of permitting or process, at least, for a lot of these large gatherings, so that you know to have the proper security and police force there, so just know that when we criticize these things and we talk about these scenarios, this is one of those situations where you say, "But for the grace of God, go I." I didn't go to January 6th in D.C. partly for that reason. I had been teaching all year long about the 12th Amendment and about the Electoral College and how this would work. And I had been really emphasizing it and diving into it, from the time of the election in November to January 6th, when the electoral votes would be counted. And you had all these, scenarios. I mean, it was literally up in the air who the president was going to be, and very, very possible that the 6 states that were in question were clearly cheating had taken place. And even not counting the machines, but just in terms of the way the law was broken, the Constitution was broken by having election law changed at the last minute by a governor or a secretary of state, or it was different in Georgia and Pennsylvania and Michigan and some of these key states. But it was very obviously unconstitutional and broken, and it would have been absolutely within Mike Pence's ability to throw out those electoral votes in the counting of the electors, or Congress doing that, or going into a committee to decide which ones. That was absolutely a possibility on January 6th. And actually, it's what should have happened. Very simply, what should have happened on January 6th is Congress should have sent a note to those 6 states, an immediate message to those 6 states, and said to the legislature, and only the legislature, because only the legislature gets to decide this based on the constitutional language and Supreme Court decisions that have verified that over time. But the legislatures in each of those six states should have been put on the spot. And the question should have been, who do you want your electors to go to? Because you get to decide at any time, even if, no matter what, how your election went in your state, if the rules were violated and that election is tainted, you can decide who you want your electors to go to. Or you can say, you know, the process was tainted. Our state's not going to get to count their electors. And under either of those scenarios, it was up in the air whether it would be Biden or Trump. And depending on the math and depending on which states did what, the outcome would have been determined at some point before January 20th. Okay, so all of that to say, I didn't go to D.C. even though I had been talking so much about what could happen that day, partly because these networks wanted me to be available for commentary and stay in the studio and do that, but mostly because maybe this Holy Spirit, I don't know, maybe whatever, something told me not to be there. And I got to be honest, if I'd been there, I'm a pretty passionate guy, and I might have ended up, you know, not only in the Capitol, but I might have ended up in the pushing and shoving. I don't know. And so I'm glad I wasn't there. And I'd say all that to say, you can sit back with your hindsight in 2020, all of us can. And if you've never been in a situation like that, you can say, I wouldn't lose my cool. You know, I would stay. I'm just telling you, in that crowded mob type situation, especially when you're literally shoulder to shoulder and the whole crowd is moving a particular direction and the energy just takes over, it's not good. And it's the reason that our system is designed to prevent mob rule. It's specifically to stop the French Revolution kind of stuff from happening, where a mob gets ginned up and you know, takes out a leader and hangs them in the streets and all that kind of stuff. And so what you don't want to do is ever encourage a mob mindset or attitude, or certainly not encourage with language that gins up violence. It's one reason President Trump's language on January 6th was so important to watch, and his body language. His body language, his tone, the words that he used was very specifically to be peaceful, to respect law enforcement, to simply be there in a show of solidarity as the people asking Congress to do its job under the Constitution. And it's the reason that all the networks and Twitter and everything else wouldn't let his words come through, because he's saying be peaceful. He's saying don't do violence. He's saying respect police officers. So anyway, all that to say, let's not ever look at these situations and say I would have never done anything that could be construed as wrong. Okay, now back to the mobs that of the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, the you know, all the George Floyd riots of 2020 and the burning of cities and the murdering of cops and other people and destruction of so much property and just so much violence and hatred and the all the opposite of what MLK called for and what he did. It was terrible. And Jacob Fay, I mean, you're seeing his name right now in Minneapolis. He was the reason that cities burned all over the country, because when the police precinct in Minneapolis, when they started to take it and burn it, he said, let them have it. So he made the decision, we're going to let the mobsters and the rioters have their way. Maybe they'll work this thing out. Or he literally was with them. And you look later, he marched with them. He knelt with them. And so, you know, I would argue he was actually a part of them, not just made a bad tactical, you know, administrative decision, but actually was in many ways cheering them on. And then, of course, once that happened in Minneapolis, it spread all over the country, because you're watching it and people that are passionate on that issue of whatever they thought the issue was. And a lot of these kids were lied to, and they actually thought, I'm just helping minorities. I'm just standing against injustice or police brutality. And, you know, they were lied to about all of these things, and they believed they were part of a righteous cause. And then they're seeing, you know, that it's okay to do violence, and that actually if you do violence, it gets attention and your cause wins. And then you have these moronic reporters standing in front of burning buildings saying it's mostly peaceful. And, you know, I don't mean to relive all of that, but that was the things I'm about to share with you are it's the research that I did then in order to answer to those riots and that violence, and it applies perfectly to what's happening in Minneapolis right now, and very possibly and likely will spread all over the country. So you can expect the Marxist and the left to do exactly what they're doing in Minneapolis in every city in America, wherever ICE shows up. I think we're at 60-something ICE officers already that have been run over or drugged by a car or had some kind of a violence against them like that. And it's because it's being encouraged by Tim Walz and Jacob Fay and all these other lackeys for the Marxist and trying to keep illegal people in our country. They're literally defending and standing alongside gang members and thugs and rapists and murderers and trying to prevent ICE from removing these people from our country. And let's not forget that ICE, the only reason ICE is having to go in and get these people and have these confrontations is because of these mayors and governors having sanctuary cities where they arrest these illegals, even in the commission of other crimes besides coming in illegal, and then let them go instead of handing them over to ICE like they're supposed to, which would be a peaceful transfer. There'd be no rioting in the street over it. There'd be no risk of violence. So this is the any blood that ends up as a result of these things, not just this one lady in Minneapolis, but others that end up being maimed or killed as a result of the violence. It's that blood is on the hands of Tim Walz and Jacob Fay and any other governor or mayor that is not handing over illegal aliens that have been detained and instead requiring, by their actions, requiring ICE to have to come in a law enforcement action that always has risk to it for both the law enforcement officer, the person that they're after, and innocent people and that are around, or agitators who aren't innocent, who are guilty. You try to run over a police officer, you have put yourself in that position. I've taught my kids. I was taught, when you get pulled over, you put your hands on the steering, you turn the lights on inside the car, you roll down the windows on both sides, and you put your hands on the steering wheel so that they can be easily seen. You do that, you're not going to get shot. You're not going to be harmed. But if you keep the car dark and you keep the windows up and you're fumbling around in your glove box and looking for your insurance or whatever it might be, you are risking the potential of an officer having to make an impossibly difficult decision every time they walk up to a car. They risk being shot. If you're a police officer and you pull someone over and you're walking up to that door, if that perpetrator really wants to shoot you, you're going to be defenseless. You're there's no way to present your weapon in time if that person in the front seat is sitting there with their gun already, at the chest level, ready to shoot you as you come around the window. So just know that every police officer in America, in the world, that has to do that multiple times a day is putting their life on the line to do their job to protect us. And so when you can imagine that if you're creating a situation that's causing them to not know if you've got a gun or not know if there's about to be violence, they want to make it home that night. And so they've got to make split-second decisions all the time. To not get run over or to not be shot or whatever it might be. So don't do stupid things that put you at risk, and instead do everything you can to make that police officer's job as easy as possible and as least dangerous as possible, and you'll get to go home that night, maybe after making bail, if that's the situation, and they'll get to go home that night. That's the deal. Okay, so back to what's happening right now. These people that are purposely putting themselves between law enforcement and criminals. And so they're defending the criminals on purpose. They know that. They know these people are criminals. Now they're terribly misinformed and being told, oh, it's a civil action, not a criminal, and all these other absurd things to justify that they think they're in a righteous cause. In their mind, the movie they're playing in their mind. In their mind, they're stopping this stormtrooper, tyrannical, situation, weaponized government from taking, the nanny or the housekeeper, sweet little lady and part of a family and never hurt anybody, and she's just there, doing the job that Americans won't do, and 400 stormtroopers are showing up to drag her off and send her back to her home country, which is absurd. But they're sending in these armed officers to get gang members and criminal aliens that have records and all that. And so now, granted, all of them should be deported. I don't care if you're the little maid or fruit picker or construction worker, if you're here illegally, you should be sent home. But we don't have to send in, you know, the 50 officers armed to the teeth and tactical gear for most of those people. When they go in like that, it's because it's someone that they have a reason to believe they need to be that well prepared. And there's also an overwhelming force, strategy to this and tactic to this in terms of where they're going in. Okay, so these people think, remember, they're playing in their mind this absurd narrative that they have bought into. It's not reality, but if it's reality in their mind, it's reality, okay? And so then they're willing to put their life in danger by getting between the police officer and in this case, ICE agent and the criminal. And then they're actually willing, unfortunately, but it's obvious when you watch the videos, not just of this one incident in Minneapolis, but these other ones, they're actually willing to harm law enforcement officers. They're willing to kill law enforcement officers, run over them, whatever. Okay, that is, in fact, an insurrection. They are, at this point, trying to thwart the law. It's the same as in, was it Seattle or Portland, where they kept trying, night after night, trying to burn down that federal building. That would absolutely justify invoking the Insurrection Acts. Okay, so I really wanted to get to the phones. I'm sorry, guys. We'll get to the phones in the final segment. But the basic question that everybody's going to be asking over the next few days and weeks, and it's going to be debated over and over again, can the president use the military to stop violence across our nation or in a particular city when this type of thing is happening? And so to answer that question, we had to both look at the Constitution and look at the Insurrection Acts that have been passed by Congress. Okay, so first of all, just in terms of the Constitution, maybe I can get through this in our final minute or so here in this segment, but in terms of the Constitution and some of these federal statutes, but you do have to kind of combine them because Congress has delegated certain constitutional authority given to Congress in the Constitution. They've delegated it to the president. So here's what it looks like, all right? There are two parts of the Constitution you need to be aware of. Number one, Article 4, Section 4. We call it the Guarantee Clause, Invasion Clause, and the Protection Clause. Here's what it says. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. Okay, so now if we take that only by itself, then you got to have the governor or the legislature ask for help in order to stop an invasion and protect that republic. Okay, now keep that in mind, just kind of put that in the back of your mind for a second, and then go over to Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15. This is the Militia Clause, or the Calling Forth Clause. And it says, Congress shall have the power to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. So now you take those two clauses together, and Congress, the federal government, through Congress, has the power, when there is any kind of an insurrection, any kind of a attempt to stop the federal government from doing its job, or even stop its own state government from being the republic that it is designed to be, at that point, the federal government has the right. The Constitution actually not only gives them the right or the power, it requires them to do that. It's part of the reason we have a federal government is to be able to protect states and their rights. Now, when we come back, I'll explain how this ends up on the executive's desk, on the president's desk, where the president has the power to then go do this, even if Congress hasn't said to do it, and even in some cases when the state legislature or the state governor has not asked for it to be done. Okay, so there's several steps we have to take here to realize the power that President Trump has and doesn't have, and the actions that are, I believe, going to be taken in the next few weeks. So let's take a quick break. Phone number is 888-589-8840. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Waubman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us. We're talking about the violence on the streets of America right now, the violence against federal law enforcement agencies and local law enforcement when they're doing their job and working with federal law enforcement to enforce the law and make our nation and our streets safer. What do we do with it? And so I was mentioning before the break the power of the federal government in these situations, taking Article 4, Section 4, and Article 1, Section 8 combined. When you combine those, absolutely the federal government has the power to use the military to stop violence. So now, how does it get over to the president? Well, Article 1, Section 8 gives that initial decision to Congress, not the president. But Congress often does this. They will create an agency or they'll pass a law that essentially delegates a power to the president or to some agency or, you know, third party. Okay, they've done that multiple times on this particular issue by passing what we call insurrection acts. There's been several of them over the years. First one was, you know, literally the founding fathers doing it, 1792. It was the Calling Forth Act. These are literally the founders in Congress. Okay, put yourself in a time machine, go back to 1792. You're talking, you know, basically a year, 2 years after the Constitution had been ratified. You're talking, you know, half of Congress is quite literally signers of the Declaration or the Constitution, you know, framer of the Constitution. So, I mean, they knew what they were talking about, right? They knew how they had intended the system to work, designed the system to work, and this was part of it. It's okay to delegate to the president to execute the laws. Congress can't, you know, it's much more difficult for Congress to act quickly than it is for the president. Okay, so then George Washington is the first president. So 1792, they passed this Calling Forth Act. George Washington's president of the United States. What's the first time that the Insurrection Act would be used, or would it be used by the first president? Yes, the answer is yes. 2 years in, I mean, literally just 2 years after the Insurrection Act is passed, George Washington actually goes and helps put down the Whiskey Rebellion. Okay, so that was an early example of the need for the federal government to actually not only stop violence just to stop violence, it's literally protecting that state where that thing is happening. So it's not that the federal government is at war with Minnesota, like Tim Walz wants. He's literally calling for a civil war right now. It's that the federal government is protecting Minnesota, literally helping to protect the citizens in Minnesota who are victims of the bad policy of Tim Walz and Jacob Fay. So this is a legitimate federal function that the founding fathers of America saw coming and knew would be necessary and did it themselves. Okay, and then it would be used many times over the course of our history. About 20 times the Insurrection Acts have been invoked, and that's by about a dozen different presidents. You know, Democrats, my goodness, most of the time, right? In fact, I think it's a third, if I remember right. I'm trying to remember the math of which ones, but JFK and LBJ were the ones to do it the most in the you know, riots of the 60s, and Dwight Eisenhower did it when it came to, you know, protecting those nine black school children in Little Rock from the racist Democrats, which that they just tend to be racist. You know, Kennedy did it at Ole Miss in 62, again, stopping racist Democrats from burning down the university and as always, standing in the schoolhouse door. Now, back then, Democrats stood in the schoolhouse door to keep black kids out. Now, Democrats stand in the schoolhouse door to keep all kids locked in and not allow them to have school choice and go to a better school for their family. But anyway, that's definitely digressing into a different issue. Okay, then you got Woodrow Wilson, FDR, you know, first Bush actually did this, Bush 41. You just go through the history and it's been used a ton. There's no question the president has the authority. This is not even a close call. Now, in Trump's first term, you had a cabinet that did not support him. They undermined him at every turn. Back then, it was, you know, Secretary Esper and James Mattis, and they were saying you can't stop the riots and the burning of these cities and blah, blah, blah. They were dead wrong, absolutely wrong. And I called back then for President Trump to do exactly what Lincoln had done and just keep firing the generals until you find a general that'll get the job done. In this case, a Secretary of Defense or cabinet members to do what you're called to do. And so this time around, though, President Trump has a cabinet that has, so far as I've seen, completely supported him. I don't know of a member. I'm sure it's possible it's happening out of all the secretaries and undersecretaries, but I don't know of anybody that's actively working to undermine President Trump's agenda. Instead, they're all actually implementing the agenda. So I think that what's going to happen is if Tim Walz and Jacob Fay and these other politicians keep calling for violence, which is what they're doing. They're literally stoking an insurrection. If they continue to do that and these ICE agents continue to be harmed or they continue to be prevented from doing their job, I think President Trump will invoke the Insurrection Acts. I think he will do what is necessary. I'm very encouraged and very proud of the president and Tom Holman and these ICE agents and the entire administration for not backing down, for not caving and wilting and withering because of all this. There's a whole lot of people that if they had been president right now, they would have put the brakes on all of it after this death in Minnesota. And so thankfully, this president is not going to be swayed by the lies and the propaganda and the unfortunate incidents like this that are not the fault of ICE, that are clearly the fault of the lady that tried to run over an ICE agent and her lesbian wife. They are the ones that stoked this and literally taunted these ICE agents and then tried to kill them, tried to kill the ICE agent. So if you have moral clarity, you can get through these kind of situations. When you know what you're doing is right and you know that the American people asked you to do this and the people on your team agree, it's much easier to get through this stuff. And so I think he has that. I think President Trump has that. I think Holman has that. I think our certainly Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, has that. So I think I could be wrong. We might have a program next week that I'm having to say, nope, I'll eat crow. I was totally wrong. But I think they're going to see this through and continue to deport the gang members and thugs and murderers and rapists. So anyway, that's the constitutional history, a little bit of the history, and why it is absolutely okay for president. Not only okay, it's actually required. This is not even actually optional. The Constitution calls for the Congress, the president, the federal government to make sure and guarantee that we're a republic and to protect all of us as American citizens from invasion and from insurrection and from this kind of domestic violence. And so thankfully they are doing that. And I believe they will continue to do it. Okay. We've got about 8 or 10 minutes left. Let's go to the phones and see how many of these calls we can get in quickly. I believe Phil from Texas was up first. So Phil, you got the first crack at it. Comment, question, insult, go for it.
Okay. Two things. First of all, thank you so much for clarifying all that. We desperately need to do something about the mess that's going on in this country. You talk about insurrection. That's what they accuse the Republicans of, and the Democrats are the ones that are doing it. So,
exactly.
But that's how they always do. Okay, the other thing has nothing to do with that. Do you or anybody know what in the world happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene? I thought she was a really good conservative and really outspoken, and I've heard recently that she's resigning and dropping out, and who knows what's going to happen to that seat now.
Yeah.
But do you know what happened?
I don't know specifics, Phil, about what caused her to get to the point that she did, but I definitely saw the changes taking place in her her rhetoric and her decisions. And I'll just say this, that when we call Washington D.C. a swamp, it truly is, and it swallows up most of the people that go there. I've had friends, good people, get swallowed up by the swamp. I've watched people that seemed good that I didn't know but sure seemed good get swallowed up by the swamp. It's very difficult to spend very long in that arena and not be corrupted or just worn down to the point that you just become useless or to literally just get to the point where you're so jaded because even the people on your own side have done whatever that made you mad that you just throw up your hands and say, forget it, I'm going to go selfish here and I'm going to enrich myself and try to make myself even, more famous. And so I don't know what the causes were. I don't know what the disagreements specifically with Trump were or whatever it was that pushed her over the edge. But man, yeah, big change. Big change. Went from being very MAGA and, one of the loudest voices out there for MAGA. Not always the smartest voice. I mean, let's be blunt here. And sometimes sometimes I say stupid things. So, but she appeared to me to fall for a lot of the Tucker kind of stuff on the anti-Israel bandwagon and just some other anti-Semitic stuff. That's where it started to fall apart, and then just became rabid against the Trump agenda. And so now she's the darling of the left. This is what happens when someone from the right breaks and becomes, for whatever reason again. And I'm a little bit careful in what I'm saying, because I remember being in the arena and I remember being in the legislature and everybody's, stabbing you in the back from your side or just attacking constantly. And you just get worn down, man. You really do. You get worn down. And so I understand that part. The resigning part is not what bothered me. I completely understand saying enough, I'm going home to my family. The problem was that she had already kind of drifted to some of this anti-Semitic stuff and some of the other things, and then saw an opening to become the darling of the left and go on MSNBC and all these other shows and badmouth Trump and it's the Trump team. So super unfortunate, but that's what I've seen with it. Okay, let's go to Brooke in Indiana. Brooke, you're up. Go ahead, comment, question, insult, any topic you want.
Hi. Hey, Brooke. I wanted to ask if there is any way to verify that legal immigrants are being taken by ICE, and if so, is there an overseeing agency that you could report that to, or somebody that watches out for that kind of thing?
Yeah.
In Minneapolis. And knows several immigrants in his engineering firm that are legal and are terrified that they're going to be taken to the point that they're considering moving.
Yeah, yeah. Well, great question, Brooke. Let me start with the fact that absolutely government is not only not infallible, but likely to make mistakes, right? I mean, it's going to happen. You're going to have someone, identify the wrong person or get data messed up or whatever. It will happen. But I will say it's rare. And they're when you consider the fact that they've got 20 million illegals to deport, and that's who they and they're going after the worst of the worst first, it's very, 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 very unlikely that one of these guys you're talking about that's an engineer and here legally or gal would be end up on the wrong list and be deported. Not impossible, and probably has happened out of the million that have been deported. And so backing up even from there, mistakes are going to happen. That doesn't mean we don't go full board and doing, what we're supposed to do under the law. So you still do the right thing and you work as hard as you can knowing you're going to make mistakes. Let's not forget that the problem was not created by these ICE agents or the president who's trying to clean up the problem. The problem was created by Joe Biden and the Otto Penn administration and the Obama administration by opening the borders and flooding the country with all these illegals. It created this situation where you have this massive conflict and you're having to go get all of these people. And so legal immigrants are, usually the most upset about what the Democrats did in opening the border for exactly what you just described, because they've made these open border people have made it so difficult on the legal immigrants because of this type of thing. And then, of course, also because the legal immigrants work so hard to get here and doing it the right way. And then the illegal gets rewarded by the bad policy. So let's just remember all that first and then recognize that obviously we want ICE and Homeland Security to do the best it can at only going after the ones that they're supposed to go after. I believe that they are doing that because, first of all, it's, target-rich environment. There's plenty of illegals to go after that are actually doing harm. So, the oversight question, absolutely. Of course, there's oversight at Homeland Security through Congress and everything else, and the judiciary, and there has to be hearings and all of those kind of things. So, yes, there's lots of checks and balances and policy in there, maybe even too much. I personally think if you're an illegal alien, you've been positively ID'd, yes, you should have to prove that and show that, and there should be a quick hearing. I mean, 15 minutes might be long enough to be able to get that information and then send that person on their way. But fantastic question, Brooke. I appreciate that. Very important for us to do it right. You know, I am very much against having a weaponized federal agency being able to run, you know, willy-nilly over us and not have those checks and balances in place. But I'm also a very pro-law enforcement guy, knowing that they make mistakes. I've had run-ins with officers that weren't good sometimes. Knowing that they're absolutely necessary and that most of them work very hard to try to do the right thing and not make those mistakes. Good questions today, folks. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.